Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, On Mystery Inc. and Psychological Productions proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race, King Baby Duck here. Last week I ended the show saying that I'd be playing Grand Theft Auto 5 until my thumbs fell off. Well, while my thumbs are still intact, I can tell you that I've been playing the hell out of it, and it's all been so amazing. I don't want to go into too much detail, as I'll plan to do just that in my written review, but Rockstar Games went over and beyond to bring probably the best gaming experience of the year. The cities and mountains are beautiful, the missions are a ton of fun, and thank God they put the checkpoints in there. Finally, the dialogue is some of the smartest and funniest I've heard in the game, and the characters are truly memorable. You know, no character, in my opinion, is more enjoyable to play, though, than Trevor. Yes, he is a piece of shit meth dealer, but his missions are ever so great. Blasting away the Lost Motorcycle Gang, embarrassing a Ryan Seacrest wannabe, and taking down rival meth makers all in a fiery blaze. And in real life, I would never be in the same room as a guy like Trevor. But that isn't stopping me from having tons of fun controlling him. You know, I can't spoil anything more about Grand Theft Auto 5. You'll just have to wait for the full review, which I plan to have up once I dive deeper into Grand Theft Auto Online, which should be coming out on October 1st, which is Tuesday, which is today. So that means by the time you're hearing this, I'll be playing Grand Theft Auto Online. So, on that hush-hush note, let's dive onto some music. Remember, if you'd like to purchase any of these artists' stuff, you can find their music on Amazon.com, CDJapan.co.jp, their official websites, Bandcamp, and even your local record store. And we're going to start things off with one of my favorite J-pop performers, Miss Ayumi Hamasaki. Since the start of her solo career back in 1998, her music has evolved from your generic idol-sounding songs to your large European super pop-influenced gems. She released a new album earlier this year called Love Again, but right now we're going to play something from her 2008 album Guilty. This is Talking to Myself.
Let's go. Ooh.
with Fuzz from their 2008 album Xion. Some may recognize that track from that monster movie Cloverfield, that found footage one that I think J.J. Abrams had a hand in making. I don't quite remember where it was. I think it was one of the party songs near the beginning before the monster attacked. I'd have to rewatch the movie and see if I can discover where the song appeared in. So this past week, a story broke out that really entertained me. On September 16th, the Cincinnati Bengals decided to break out a new pregame, in-game, and post-game theme song for their team. It wasn't something like Metallica or AC/DC or Slayer. No, the Bengals went a route that is so far from football fist-pumping music that it crossed over to something more akin to the likes of cheerleading and ribbon dancing, the worst fucking Olympic sport ever. I mean, seriously, if ribbon dancing is an Olympic sport, why isn't skateboarding? But anyway, they thought it would be radical to have their theme song be Roar by Katy Perry. The result? A huge backlash from the Bengals fans, with some of them complaining on social medias in droves. As a result, the song has been pulled for good, with the Bengals realizing the big mistake they made. A representative said, and I quote, "I think some fans prove that there's an exception that when the team takes the field, there should be more of a hard rock, classic rock song. And I know that that's what we're going to do for the next game." Katy Perry is not going to be the last song you hear before the team takes the field. Now, before I continue, let me just state that I do like Katy Perry, so don't go bashing me. However, there is a time and place for her music, and football just isn't one of them. And this kind of leads me to this rant that I have, and it deals with Super Bowl halftime shows. For the past few years, the dudes who have been controlling who plays at the halftime program have apparently had their heads up their asses in sort of a human centipede formation as they have continuously brought in acts that have no place in a football game. The Black Eyed Peas, Beyonce, oh, and every football player's favorite artist, Madonna! Everybody likes listening to Madonna go to football games. Fuck no! And this year, it continues to slide downhill with the announcement of Bruno Mars performing at the event. You would think that they would get someone awesome to perform at the event. Someone whose music could be heard throughout the stadium and can pump them up like crazy. Someone like Foo Fighters, or perhaps the Black Keys, Queens of the Stone Age, or maybe even Jack White. If you want to go someone legendary, go with an act like Iggy and the Stooges. Or if you want that whole popish route, everybody loves Daft Punk. But no, they went with goddamn Bruno Mars, whose music has never even graced a football stadium, and probably never will. It's apparent that the NFL only cares about the viewers, but what about the people who are watching the game live there in person? They have no choice but to hear Bruno and his mediocrity, while at home, people have the option to change the channel if they have no interest in watching. I say, from here on out, when it comes to choosing a Super Bowl halftime show performer, I suggest that they keep the actual stadium spectators, the dudes who paid hundreds of bucks for a Super Bowl ticket, in mind first. That way, we can get some actual talent who are deemed worthy enough to be blared on the stadium speakers, let alone invade one of the most prestigious games of the year. In fact, let me play you a wonderful example of a band who would be just perfect for a Super Bowl halftime show. I am talking, of course, about Rammstein. Can you imagine what it'd be like to see the band like Rammstein perform at the halftime show? The children would be frightened, the stadium would burn to the ground, and the audience would love every second of it. Here's a song from their Made in Germany Best of album. This is Mein Gott.
Mit mir von Süd nach West.
Anastasia with Take Me Out. This is one of the songs she wrote for the Black Stones album that was made for them, Nana Anime. I hope they do a second season of Nana soon. If all these other anime series that are total crap are getting a second season, then why not something as breathtaking and beautiful as Nana? I don't know, maybe it's up to the creator and the studio, so who knows? This past week, I got to check out the demo for Beyond Two Souls. This is the latest game from Quantic Dream, the guys who created Heavy Rain and blew everyone away at E3 with their video demonstration of The Dark Sorcerer. Heavy Rain was the reason why I got a PS3 in the first place, and I was enthralled with its storytelling and characters. For Beyond Two Souls, the guys have gotten some big star power involved in the forms of Ellen Page and Willem Dafoe. I've pre-ordered the game already, so look out for a piece about it sometime next month. But right now, let's talk about the demo. So, the demo of Beyond Two Souls starts off with our hero Jody as a child in a research facility, where she is having her superhuman abilities tested. You know, you see her conjuring up this supernatural thing. I think it goes by the name of Aiden. It's helping to move objects from another room, and it's starting to spook one of the workers at the hospital. We then move on to another part of the game, later on in Jody's life, where she's learning how to fight people using her own personal combat system. And then after the combat system training, you move to another part of the game where Jody's on the run from the CIA because she's wanted for treason, and now must use both her own abilities as well as the powers to escape. The majority of the gameplay mechanics focuses on quick time events, the same as in Heavy Rain. As for maneuvering the supernatural abilities, it can get a little bit tricky in some areas. The controls flow differently from other games, so trying to move Aiden around will be difficult at first. It took until the second part of the demo to really get a good grasp on it. So expect a big learning curve for some of you out there. The game looks graphically impressive, probably the best-looking PS3 title to date. In fact, I wouldn't be too surprised if Beyond Two Souls is the console's true swan song, not The Last of Us, before the PS4 launches in the next month. We'll have to see how the rest of the game pans out, though, when it comes out in a couple weeks. Until then, I suggest checking the demo out, as it should be released by the time this podcast episode is up. One of the bands that really started my love for the Japanese music scene has to be The Pillows. This is a track from their 2012 album Trial, and also served as the theme song for the anime Skatebeats. This is Comic Sonic.
Yeah. that trip down memory lane, but you're never gonna feel the same. But you're never gonna take the blame. Change your name, now you out the game. So you head outside, feel the rain. Something in your brain can't break the chain. Same mistake again, fake the pain again. Day to day, you're proud, wakey-wakey now. Holy cow, you're in doubt. You left and now you feel down. Your heart lies back in that town. So creep back in, don't make a sound. Or lose your crown again, sleep around again. Tell your friend that you're proud. Or ask yourself what you really want from life. Don't follow that crowd.
I've never tried to make you walk into the deep end. And now I find myself awake for all the weekend. I've never tried to force that Sunday morning creeping. I want to stay, but I must roll that boat.
It's Thursday night, let's get it right. I wanna know you're gonna stay for the weekend. Starting tonight, let's do it right.
From their recent album, Electric, that was the legendary Pet Shop Boys with Thursday, with accompaniment from rapper Example. Pet Shop Boys are one of those bands that you hear their songs all the time on the radio, and you just don't know that it's them. West End Girls, One More Chance, Suburbia, Always On Your Mind, Opportunities, and they've even collaborated with a lot of artists from the past and present. Yeah, I still don't know why they're called Pet Shop Boys, though. I can't imagine a duo working at a PetSmart or somewhere like that. You know, thanks to my uncle, I was able to check out Pet Shop Boys live a couple Saturdays ago at the House of Blues, and they put on a fantastic show. Awesome laser light program, videos, costumes. They even had these two dancers wearing these animal skulls while performing some pretty impressive moves. You know, must be a bitch on the shoulders, though. I can't really imagine trying to dance with one of those things over my head. I fear it would actually block my vision. You know, after seeing Pet Shop Boys live, I now know where Lady Gaga gets her ideas from. I kid you not. Everything I saw Neil, Chris, and the dancers wear were so out of this world that you could just easily picture the Fame Monster wear some sort of version of it. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Lady Gaga, and I know she has worked with Pet Shop Boys in the past. I think it was at like a BBC awards show. It was the one where it was her, Pet Shop Boys, and Brandon Flowers from The Killers performing together. But when it comes to the specific fashion style, Neil and Chris basically started it in the music industry. Give credit where credit is due. I mean, after all, these are the two dudes who were the first to have that electronica sound in music. You know, no Pet Shop Boys, no Daft Punk. No Pet Shop Boys, no Deadmau5, no Zedd, no Feed Me, no Skrillex. Hell, probably no Nine Inch Nails either. You know, Pet Shop Boys were the originators, and, you know, it's high time to get their props about that. You know, of course, if you're interested in checking out the Pet Shop Boys music, it's best to start off with one of their best of albums, like Discography. And, you know, not gonna lie, they're one of those bands that you do sort of wait for a compilation album to come out, because you know that those are gonna be the best songs on there. You know, I feel the same way about Pearl Jam. I love Pearl Jam, but when it comes to buying their albums, I just wait for them to drop something like a best-of CD before I fork over the cash. You know, that's just me, though. I bet there are artists that you feel the same way about. And in fact, why don't we make that our audience participation question of the show? Is there a band out there that you really love, but don't ever buy their albums? Do you play the waiting game for the inevitable compilation album to come around your way for a specific artist? Let us know via Facebook or our email at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. And I will read off your responses if I get any this week. My favorite jazz band has to be Soil and Pimp Sessions, who will be releasing a best-of album called X next month. Here's one of their B-sides from their Storm single. This is Grossy.
justice, peace, they have led us to war, heedless of the platform upon which they were elected.
They just released an EP back in April called The Unraveling. I've seen them live twice, and they put on an exciting show, especially when you've got a frontman like Kjell lashing away on that pedestal of his. Alright, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you've got me hooked. I mean, I knew I was going to watch the show because it's a Marvel Universe series, but wow, was I impressed. It's a total Whedon affair. It's smart, it's quick at the jabs, it's funny, and it's action-packed. So, Phil Coulson isn't dead, he's just been pushed up a level, but already his true whereabouts are unknown. He keeps saying he was in, I think, the Philippines, but they said, oh, he doesn't know the truth. But what is the truth? We probably won't find out until the end of the season. A person with superhuman powers emerges, and a new group known as the Rising Tide starts emerging its head to uncover the truths about the superheroes. Of course, S.H.I.E.L.D. finds out where Rising Tide is and finds her in an RV. So as things go in the Marvel world, the hacker, whose name is Sky, is hired by S.H.I.E.L.D., so we'll have to see what happens with that character in the first season. You know, it's only been one episode this far, well, two by now, what we're recording this show early, but it's got the comic bookish vibe of the past Avenger films, with some of the whimsy that we've seen in the likes of Firefly and Buffy. Also, Coulson's car, total badass. I love Lola. I want Lola. Why don't we have flying cars yet? So, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you're now my Tuesday evening top priority. Sorry, Brooklyn Nine-Nine and New Girl. You'll have to wait to be watched on demand, I guess. Now, on a side note, the show that follows it afterwards, The Goldbergs, it's really funny. Jeff Garland is one of my favorite comedic actors, so I'm glad to see him in something this entertaining. The same goes for George Segal. I loved him in Just Shoot Me, and he's really funny here as the grandpa. You know, with the rise of folk music, the next likely step would be a resurgence of rockabilly, and that's what this next performer is hoping to do. His name is J.D. McPherson, and last year he released a great album called Signs and Signifiers. Had I heard it last year, it might have made it onto my top albums list. From that album is a cool little track called Wolf Teeth. My Motor Mustang with Delusion from their Electrocute EP. They got a show coming up at Tokyo's Heaven's Door on October 5th with The December and Kamihikurasu. For more information, go to motormustang.com. As we all know, Valve is afraid of the number 3, so it came as a surprise when Valve came out with 3 announcements this past week. The first was the reveal of SteamOS, a Linux-inspired system created for living room-based PC gaming. This system would be set up with some computers so they can easily access Steam-based games from it via in-home streaming. As we speak, already hundreds of games can run natively on the SteamOS, and with all AAA titles in 2014 being able to do so as well, you can expect a much larger library to work with it. The second announcement wasn't as big of a shock with the official reveal of the Steam Machine, their own style of PC for people to play their Steam titles on, set to be released sometime in 2014 as well. Honestly, while I knew this was going to happen, I'm really glad that it's now finally on the table. With the decline in quality of Alienware these past few years, I'm very happy to see that a true gaming-based PC is finally going to make its way back into the forefront. Now, the third announcement deals with the controller, which looks nothing like I've really seen before, to be honest with you. Its two control sticks are more like touch pads, and they have that clickable thing that the mouse will have. And it's weird. It looks like a pair of owl eyes. And the way the buttons are set up, it's just, I have no idea how it's going to work. Like, it looks weird, and I imagine it would feel weird playing with it. And, you know, like I said, they're mixing the design of controller with the power and clickability of a mouse. Yeah, and its touchscreen, I picture it working like the PS4 one. But it's weird. It looks weird. I bet it's going to feel weird. But a part of me thinks if I were to go hands-on with it today, I would be, okay, now I get where Valve is going with it. But I can't because I've never gone hands-on with it and probably won't go hands-on with it until sometime around 2014. Probably not until PAX East in April. So we'll have to see how this all works in the end. After all, no one will be able to really go hands-on with it until sometime early next year or by the end of this year if they somehow release the betas on time for everybody or if they decide to bring it to a convention. So let's just be a little bit more patient and see what happens. But patience and Valve fans don't go very well. I mean, these are the same people who are still waiting on Half-Life 3, which what people really wanted Valve to announce. Either Half-Life 3, Left 4 Dead 3, or Portal 3, or even a Team Fortress 3. I don't... You know what? Let's move on to some more music before we make the fanboys cry, because the more we talk about it, we're just going to wind up drowning in their tears. One of the former side projects from former The Michelle Gunn Elephant bassist Koji Ueno, this is Radio Caroline with a track from their Extreme EP. Here's Memory.
Fuck!
Loud Boy with Blow Dryer Tortoise off of their recently released debut album, Ultra MK. Loud Boy features John Andrews of Helmet and Brian Viglione of Faces of the Sun, the Dresden Dolls, and just recently, the Violent Femmes. I'm telling you, him and Dave Grohl are just battling it out with one another for the title of the world's busiest drummer, and there's no clear winner set just yet. Loud Boy is prepping for a couple of CD release shows in New York, one on October 3rd at New York City's Bowery Electric, and another in Kingston, New York on the 17th. Brian is also reuniting with Amanda Palmer for a very special performance on Monday, October 7th at the Somerville Theater in Somerville, Mass. For an event paying tribute to their friend Becca Rosenthal, who passed away last year. Neil Gaiman will also be there to perform, as well as Michael Pope, Raven Bride, Casey Long, and many others. Tickets are still on sale, and they're going for either $25 for regular seats or $100 for the closer seats, which also comes with an invite to the post party and other goodies. All proceeds will go to the Rebecca Semay Rosenthal 07 Memorial Special Collections Fund at Smith College, which will set up a scholarship in her name. Please come to the show. Even though it may have some summer moments in there, I can say with full confidence that you will have a really good time at this performance. So please, don't miss it. Well, that wraps up another episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcasts, episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/king_baby_duck. And you can follow us on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBassBrigade. And don't forget to follow our other podcast shows under the Land of Ash, including Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the ever so entertaining Issues program. Let's end the show with my favorite ladies of punk rock. This is Tsushima Mire, and from their recent self-titled album, which I gave 4 stars on the B3 website, is Jaguar. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck, reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.